All right, now, as I said, I got a lot to tell you, a lot of scriptures to go to, so you can write them down. You don't have to go to all of them, of course, but I do have a lot of scriptures that I'm going to go to as fast as I can. But the title of this message is We're Glowing, Baby. We're Glowing. And when I was sitting in the when I was sitting there praying yesterday, and I had remembered that I had read this, and I was like, I had read it somewhere before, and I didn't know that this was a thing. Did you know that your bodies glow? How many of y'all knew that? There's a few of you. Yeah, you're like me. Y'all was like, what? We glow? So it is true. We're walking beams of light. I'll get to that here in a second. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 first. Ephesians 1. I thought this was going to be the message this week, and then I was like, no, you know what? This is going to be a little different. So this is going to be the introduction instead of the message. But I want you to remember two key words, the focus words for today, children. That's what I do in class, you know. This is the focus words, all right? These focus. Focus on these. Is love and light. Love and light. Those two words. Ephesians 1. Now, so I got to look at my notes here because I got a lot I'm looking at here. Let me see. Where am I at here? Nope, that's not it. Let's go here. Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read the Passion in some of these scriptures and in the King James and others. So in these times that we live in, even since the beginning, even when Jesus had already died, came back to life, went to heaven, Paul writing 2/3 of the Bible, the scriptures in the New Testament, etc., etc., all of these rules applied even then. It's not like all of a sudden now they exist and we're supposed to do them. It's like they were doing these things since then. And it should have been like that. If the children of Israel would have learned how to walk in love when they were in the desert, they wouldn't have had to stay so long in the desert. But they got to whining and complaining, whining and complaining, whining and complaining. I got yelled at my basketball team the other day. I was like, I'm going to count every shot y'all make, but every foul, I'm going to deduct 1 point. And they were all like, good coach, you fouled me. I'm like, shut up and play. We have it's junior high. You don't get the best refs in a basketball game. They're not NBA refs making $40,000 a game. So get ready. There's going to be people foul you, and you're just going to have to deal with it. There's going to be people foul you in life, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Amen. Quit whining and complaining about it. Amen. Just take the foul, go on, and go dunk the ball or whatever, score the touchdown or whatever. We got to quit being complainers. That way you don't have to walk around the mountain for 40 years to get to your blessing. It can happen right now because God is a right now God. Whew. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, these are what I would call in verses 15 through like 20, these are what I would call the I prays, where Paul is saying, I pray, okay? So in verse 15, he says, because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. Nobody does that without love first. If you can't master the love walk, you won't master this. And y'all have heard me tell you a million times on this, but you could preach on love for hours. The love walk is more than just I love you. The word love is so overused these days. Like, I love that, you know, new hairdo I got or that new makeup I'm wearing or this blah, 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 blah. It's way overused. It becomes a word that people are desensitized to. And then when they actually hear the word love, they are not sensitive to it. Amen. And if you ain't sensitive to the love walk, You will not master this God walk because God is love. And if God is love, that's the number one thing. Jesus said all these commandments hang on one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments hang on that word. A heart to pray because of his love walk. Now, watch verse 17. He says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know him through your what? Deepening intimacy. So, this is something that I've learned about the church. We have to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and pray for a deepening intimacy. The one thing that is hurting the church more than anything is that they go to church to be entertained. We have the coffee and the donuts. Now, we serve all that stuff, but that's not our number one thing. And then we have, you know, they'll have the lights, and, you know, we love the lights. We have to have them, right? But what it can be is a show. And what happens is people are in this mindset that in order to just, you know, now that I'm saved, I can go to church, and that's really it. It's the one thing that's destroying the church today. It's making the church weaker and weaker and weaker. It's because churches will not take authority. We even have churches now that are being led by homosexuals. I could go all day on that. It's happening in the Catholic Church. It's happening. If you go to Georgetown, you drive. If you pass Georgetown, go down 29, head towards Taylor. There's a church out there, and they got, you know, rainbows on the sign and all that, and it's called the First Union something and something Church. It's one of those. Hey, everybody's welcome here. Just believe whatever you want. And they, you know, they believe that, you know, their animals are, you know, humans too. And, you know, we love our animals. Hello, we love our animals, and they're part of our family. But they ain't humans. I'm sorry. But everything is accepted. Oh, just come. We just want you to be here, and we'll tell you, you know, what we think God is. And if you don't agree with that, we'll just make God whatever you want him to be. Well, the bad thing is about that is that this word right here does not describe God as just something that you just want him to be. God is exactly what this word says, and that's it. There's no alternative. There's not an alternative path to heaven, and there's a million paths to hell. Well, I should say there's one path. There's a lot of ways to get there, but there's one path, and that's it. You just don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's it. But there's a lot of things that will help lead you there. God is not just a whatever God and believe whatever you want to believe. You can be a homosexual. You can be 20 different sexes. You can believe in this. You can believe in that. And just whatever you want. Well, on the day of judgment, they're going to find out that they were W-R-O-N-G wrong. Because it don't work that way. Yes, we love the donuts and the coffee and the lights. And we love to have, that's prosperity. It should be like that. You should experience God when you walk into a church, but that cannot be the focus. Praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but you have to have a deepening intimacy, not collectively as a cowboy church, but as an individual of cowboy church. Your intimacy with God is not the same as having, you know, a relationship with everybody that's here as a collective. We are a collective group of believers, but we each have to have an individual responsibility to go and learn about God ourselves. You cannot rely on the preacher. You cannot rely on your friends. I don't care how close they are to God. I don't care how much they know the word. You cannot rely on your friends because nobody can teach you about God but God. And you need the Holy Spirit. You cannot rely on people. You cannot. Don't rely on the preacher. Don't believe it because I say it. Don't believe it because Corey says it. Don't believe it because some preacher on TV who is a large ministry who pays millions of dollars for 30 minutes of television, don't believe it because they tell you. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, ministers to our spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is ministering to your spirit, then you're developing a deepening intimacy. Because if the Holy Spirit is talking to you, you're becoming intimate with God. Amen. He will tell you if what's being said is correct or not. But I'm here to tell you, Satan, it's like I've been hearing preachers talk about this a lot. You know, Hollywood will make the devil look like this gruesome, grotesque, like the dragon, fire breathing, spitting, and heads turning in a circle, and he'll make it look. And that is the devil rarely manifests like that. Rarely, the Bible says that he comes as a light. He comes with flowers and dandelions and smell good stuff and this and that to make you want to go and do those things. He rarely manifests like that. I mean, if Hollywood can fall in love with the spiritual, why can't we? Because it makes them thousands and millions of dollars. Spiritual movies usually make lots of money. The most wicked movies you can think of, and they're all deeply spiritual. Yes, they deal with demons and devils, etc., etc., but they don't normally manifest like that. The devil comes as a light, and he will convince you that you just got it all figured out. You can be gay if you want. You can be homosexual. You can do this. You can do that. You don't have to believe Jesus came and died for your sins. You don't have to believe that. You can just believe whatever you want. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good to not have to believe in something or be committed to something? It takes all the pressure off of you, doesn't it? When you don't have to commit to anything, there's no pressure, right? But when you have to commit to something, that's when the pressure comes. When you commit to going to church and being a Jesus freak and being one of them tither guys and them Holy Ghost rollers or them tongue talkers or whatever, that's when the devil really starts watching you. He don't care about you if you believe all that other stuff. But boy, when you start being committed, that's when the fight happens. That's when you better put on the shoulder pads and the helmet. Amen? Because it's about to get real. Verse 18. I hope that's where I'm at. Yep. He says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Ooh, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that He finds in us, His holy ones. Amen. Whew, praying for the light of God will illuminate your heart. Praying that the light of God, remember the two words? Love and light. When you fall in love with God, you start lighting up a little brighter. You start getting a little bit brighter and people start noticing it. My friends, it is the light that will draw people. Now, I did hear a preacher say, light also attracts bugs. So let me say, so I got a revelation this morning. I'm just kidding. This is just me. This ain't scriptural. This is just me. But the brighter you are, the bugs will come, right? If you ain't so bright and you don't have to fight mosquitoes and chiggers and all those things, maybe you ain't shining bright enough. That's just me. That's not scriptural. That's just me. When you're shining, you got to fight mosquitoes. You know, they always say that, you know, mosquitoes are drawn to certain people, the way they smell, the way they look. It's because we're shining. Amen? We're glowing. We're brighter, you know? Praying for a continual experience. All right, verse 19. Watch this. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. Now, if you read on, it talks about this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So he's praying that this continual experience, this immeasurable greatness of God's power will work through you so that you'll be a walking billboard. Amen? When you walk around, people are like, whoa, wait, what was that? You know, because billboards are not dull and dark. When the sun goes down and the light's all gone, guess what lights up? The billboards. Have you seen the one down here where Cowboy Church, you know, we helped get the Cowboy Church helped get it on the street there. They had to fight the city for that thing. They didn't want us to turn it into Vegas. I'm like, what? They didn't want all them flashing lights driving through that part of town. I'm like, there's nothing there. There's only cows in one house there. What are they distracted from? But it lights up. Why? To draw attention. Yes, we should be drawing attention to ourselves. You were always told as a kid, quit trying to draw attention to yourself. Well, there's a way to do it the wrong way, and there's a way to do it the right way. I deal with that in basketball. Some kid walk in with pink socks. I'm like, you ain't wearing those. In the game, you got, I mean, when you're a collective team, you got to all work together. You can be your own individual, but when we're as a team, we don't need to draw attention to ourselves. You want to draw attention to yourself, walk around the court and start ministering to people about Jesus. Amen? I could go all day on those things, I'm telling you. We need to be drawing attention to ourselves. The Bible says when you start doing the miraculous, people start to wonder and they start coming. When miracles start happening, that's why Jesus had a huge following. He lay hands on somebody and all of a sudden the guy could see. He'd lay hands on somebody and all of a sudden the guy would get up and walk. He'd say, hey, you want to be healed? Yep, I want to be healed. All right, get up and walk. Let's go. And then he'd just get up and walk. And now, not only does he have the guy that was hurting following, now he's got 3,000 people following him. Why? Because he worked the miraculous. He was drawing attention to himself in a good way. And we should do the same. Not boastfully. You just follow God's ways of doing things and start walking in God's way of doing things and working His miracles and doing things the way Jesus would do. And I'm telling you, people start coming. You don't have to beg them. If you got to beg them to follow you, you ain't leading. I'm telling you that right now. You shouldn't have to beg anybody to believe you. I don't beg anybody to believe me. I mean, they either believe it or they don't. Amen? I only tell people what I know. I don't tell them what I don't know. I don't preach on things I don't understand. I'll tell you things I do understand, but if I don't understand, I'm not going to pretend to know that I understand, pretend to know it. I'm not going to be like that. I'll tell you straight up, I haven't studied that. I can't give you a good answer on that. He says, praying for a continual experience of the greatness of God's power so that you can be a walking billboard. Amen? You can be an advertisement. Now, this is where I'm headed. This is the message. Y'all ready to get in the message? I got plenty of time. Oh, my goodness. So this is the part that really blew my socks off. I had to go buy new socks, amen, because it blew my socks off. So when I was, I don't know if I saw this on TV or if a minister mentioned it. I remember, I think, hearing about this when I was younger, but I forgot about it. So in case you didn't know it, humans glow, okay? And they even studied it scientifically to prove it. Now, you're probably thinking in your head right now, well, yeah, that would make sense. You know, for all of you guys that didn't know this, it would make sense. But when I start reading, you'll start understanding kind of where I'm going with this. It says, humans glow in visible light. The human body literally glows, emitting a visible light in extremely small quantities at levels that rise and fall with the day, scientists reveal. It says, past research has shown that the body emits visible light 1,000, now take, remember that word, that number, 1,000 times less intense than the levels to which our naked eyes are sensitive. In fact, virtually all living creatures emit very weak light, which is thought to be a byproduct of biochemical reactions involving free radicals. I don't know if that's what it is. It probably is. You're the doctor. You probably know all that. But, okay, so to learn more about this faint visible light, scientists in Japan, I'm telling you, the Japanese, they are meticulous about their products. If you don't believe me, drive a Toyota or a Lexus, amen? They are meticulous. I've even read, you know, testimonies about the Japanese and their technology and what they are meticulous on stuff. He said, scientists in Japan employed extraordinary sensitive cameras capable of detecting single photons. 5 healthy male volunteers in their 20s were placed bare-chested in front of the cameras in complete darkness in light, tight rooms. Now, I can just imagine if they'd have put Jesus on that same table, what it would have looked like, or a Christian or a Holy Ghost guy. But they put 5 guys in their 20s in light, tight rooms for 20 minutes every 3 hours from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Now, the researchers found that the body glow rose and fell over the day, with its lowest point at 10 a.m. and its peak at 4 p.m. Now, when I read that, I immediately thought of the Garden of Eden and when God walked with them in the cool of the day. Now, there are arguments on when the cool of the day is, but the ones that I read was they did a Hebrew study, and they studied those words, and they said it was afternoon, and it was usually in the later evening. So when I read that, I was like, yeah, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, it kind of makes sense. Maybe they glowed, but I bet they really glowed when God showed up. These findings, I don't want to read that because I don't know if that's true or not. Because it talks about how the metabolic rhythms fluctuate over the course of the day, which is probably true. It's probably all right, but anyway. Now watch this. Now if you think of Noah and you think of Jesus, listen to this. Faces glowed more than the rest of the body. Woo! 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 And this is what, I mean, I know you can't see that, but that's what it looks like under a thermal, you know, you can't see that from back there, but it's basically, you know, like, it's probably what a snake or a deer sees when they look at you, and they see all them little colors. They see heat. But the face glowed more. Now, Molly, you ready for this? This is the good stuff, okay? I'm not trying to sell Maybelline or Revlon here, but listen to this. You'll like this, okay? You can take this to, you know, Rodan and Synagis. Did I say it right? Or if you're a Rodan and Fieldser, right? Everybody's like, wow, is he trying to sell makeup? No. I do not sell makeup. Somebody does. Won't say names, but anyway. I'm just kidding. Okay, now listen to this. Now, if you want to know how, and I'll try to get to back to the message here in a second, but I want to show you how God designed our bodies and how if you do things God's way, woo, you'll glow. I think that's why I was thinking about the word glow. I think that's why it's called glorified. Because when you walk in the glory, you emit light. Oh, I'm going somewhere. It says love and skin are like, now this is a different article, probably by a secular author, but everything in here I'm pretty sure is pretty darn accurate. When you think more about it, it's pretty logical. When you're feeling sad, stressed, or anxious, you start noticing some changes on your skin. Have you ever noticed that? Amen. Like more breakouts. Now I'm going to get real here. Pimples. Oilier or drier skin. It's the same amount but different when you're satisfied with your life, when you're happy. When you love and you are loved. Have you ever heard that term called the love glow? Like, oh, you're so in love, I can just see it all over your face. You know what I mean? It's called the love glow. And it's probably pretty darn accurate. He says, your skin will look and be healthier because of hormones. Namely, when you're in love, your brain and body are full of good hormones, oxytocin or love hormone, dopamine and serotonin that are responsible for your anti-stress, relaxed, and peaceful state of mind. Besides that, where'd it go? There it is. Besides that, those hormones fight the bad hormone, cortisol, the one who is in charge of your stress level. Love is the best anti-aging treatment. So when God tells you to walk in love, it has a lot to do with not only the spiritual, but the physical. And if you can master this love walk, you might live longer. Molly, am I heading in the right direction? You're like, yeah, this is good stuff. Keep talking. You're going to have an advertisement board up here before I walk out today, aren't you? What's hormones got to do with your skin? Well, pretty much everything. Oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin have positive effects on your skin by increasing anti-inflammatory responses. What's one of the things that's a big seller these days? Anti-inflammatories. Repairing the skin barrier and improving microcirculation. All of that boosts your skin's radiance and gives you a free anti-aging treatment, or simply put, being in love makes you look younger. Now, when I'm talking about being in love, it's also marriage, but it's also being in love with God. Because I'm telling you, people that are happy and are in love with God, you don't see them frown much. And they're always walking around with a smile on their face. They're always trying to build people up, build them up to the next level. You know, trying to bring happiness and what? Light into the world. Okay, moving right along. Dopamine improves microcirculation. This hormone is responsible for the emotional response to certain situations. Dopamine is doing wonders when it comes to microcirculation. While it helps recover the damage of your skin barrier, dopamine is the main culprit of your glowing skin. I'm selling some makeup today. I ain't kidding. When your brain is lacking serotonin, there are big chances of being anxious or even depressed. But when the brain has a lot of this important hormone, it can help you with getting rid of free radicals while being a natural antioxidant produced in your body. This hormone is why you feel so light, beautiful, and happy when you're in love. I'm telling you, people that run the hall, you see them church when they running around in those churches because they're so excited and filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what happens. I mean, what were you like when you fell in love for the first time? Now, I'm not talking to God thing. I'm talking about the marriage thing. You fell in love or dating somebody when you were younger. Kids in junior high think they got it all figured out. I'm so in love. I'm like, no, you're not. You just think you are. But I'm in love. He's so cute. I'm like, yeah, he's cute and cuddly, but you're in junior high. There's a good chance by next week, y'all probably wouldn't even know each other's first name. But then there's also people, me and my wife, we know people that they didn't junior high, went all the way through high school, got married. But that's like a 1 in 5 million chance, right? And then the last one. Okay, so that was the last one. Okay, so I'm moving on. Okay, so remember the 1,000 times, okay? We are 1,000 times dimmer. You know why? And I can almost bet that this is why. When the curse came on the earth, we went 1,000 times dimmer. Because before the curse came on the earth, we were 1,000 times brighter. And we could see the glow. We could see, you know, Adam and Eve, they didn't have clothes. The glory shone round about them. They didn't need clothes. But when they ate of the wrong tree, that's when they saw that they were naked. Why? Because the glow disappeared. They were 1,000 times dimmer. Isn't that amazing? Our bodies? How amazing our bodies are and what they're capable. When God says that we are light, that's exactly what He means. And it's the love on the inside of you that makes your skin brighter. Because I'm telling you, when you look at your skin will tell you what's going on the inside. And if you abuse that body and don't treat it right, it don't glow. I don't want to pick on the cigarette smokers, but cigarettes don't help you. They burn up all the good stuff in your body. If you used to be a smoker, you know what I'm talking about. This lady right here, she quit in one day. One day, she goes, I choose not to anymore. I choose. And that is one, that and dipping. And all the dippers will tell you, those are two really tough ones to quit. The next one is Dr. Pepper. I'm not kidding. I've drank them, I know. And it's hard to set it down and go, I will not touch you anymore, devil. You know? Because what do you read when you read about how to make your skin look beautiful? It doesn't say donuts and Dr. Pepper. It says avocado, walnuts, pecans, you know, all the things that have the fatty acids in them. And the fatty acids are what make you glow. God is serious when He says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And He said, take care of it. Amen. So whether I'm lifting weights or I'm studying the Word, either way, I'm either building up the physical or I'm building up the spiritual. And you should be doing both. Doesn't mean you got to hit the weight room. Doesn't mean you got to get on the treadmill. But start eating the right things. Amen? Amen? It's your responsibility. It ain't I can't call you every day. If you want me to be your person that calls you every day, you know, I'm going to be yelling at you, you know. Hey, don't eat that trash. Don't do it. Don't do it. And you're out there, just, oh, I got to. It's so good. That donut is, Donut Palace, they're amazing. Hey, I'm not going to lie. They're good. They're yummy. They do that stuff at school all the time. They'll bring in all these fancy things. And I'm like, they like, Coach Myers, you want something? Like, no, better not. I really want to. Everything in me and my flesh says, eat the donut. And my spirit man is like, you're a real man. Walk away. Walk away. It takes boldness. I ain't kidding. It takes real boldness to walk away from things you ain't supposed to eat or things that you're supposed to do. Amen. Things that you're not supposed to do. Woo! It's a big one to have to tell people, hey, I can't do that anymore. I just can't. I've chosen, I've committed to walk according to God's way of doing things. I want to glow, babe. I don't want to look like some rotten potato. I want to take care of my body. I want to do the right things. I want to feed it right. I want to make it healthy. It doesn't mean you're going to have it all fair. I don't care how smart them athletic trainers are. There ain't no way they got it all. Nobody does. Nobody has it all figured out. 20 years ago, we were reading about this diet, and then 10 years later, that diet is like, what were we thinking when we thought about that? Well, that don't make no sense. And then there's something else that comes along. And then there's another thing, you know. You need the information, go to God. He'll tell you. Just sit and listen to him. He'll tell you. He'll say, this is what we're supposed to do. No, you ain't supposed to do that. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. No, don't do that. But when I read that we glowed, and I started reading scripture on this and talking, I'm going to get to the scripture right now. And I'm closing. I got 20 minutes to close. Okay? These are the scriptures I'm really wanting to get to today. And they're all about the light. You are a walking beam of light. Isaiah chapter 60, let's get there right quick. If you want to go there, you can. If not, just write it down. Isaiah chapter 60. Now remember the 1,000. Remember the 1,000. Okay? Now watch this. He's talking about light here. The sun shall be no more. Chapter 60, verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. Now he's talking about the end times. This is after judgment, you know, when everything's perfect on earth. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning, no more sadness, shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever. Let's skip to verse 22. Watch this. A little one shall become a thousand. He says, and a small one, a strong nation. The Lord will hasten it in his time. What he's saying here is you will be a thousand times more. He's saying, you know, it's just going to be, you know, the world looks at us as these little peeny little Christians. They're just a bunch of little wimps and teeny tiny fluffs, and they're not very strong. You know, let me tell you something. There's a line on the inside of all of us. You just ain't pushed the right button yet. But what the world doesn't realize is we have something greater on the inside of us than what they see on the outside. So when he says you're a thousand times greater, that's exactly what he means. We're a thousand times dimmer, but we're working on trying to be a thousand times brighter. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, I'm just going to tell you what it says. The Lord God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for a multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you a what? Thousand times more as you are, and bless you, watch this, as he hath promised you. Now, when God makes a promise, he has to fulfill it. Otherwise, he's a liar. And if God's a liar, then we might as well just close the Bible and just walk out the door, go get in our trucks, and go home. He said, I have promised you that you will be a thousand times more. Turn to Psalms. Try to skip through some of these a little faster. Actually, the book of Micah. If you want to turn there, you can. It's one of the minor prophets right before Matthew. It's, you know, you'll just have to find it. It's the best I can tell you. I got to hurry. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Watch this. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Oh, that's good. When I see something like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, God about to set them straight right here. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Now, if you can sit in a totally dark room and a camera can see you shining and see you glowing, you got something on the inside of you that needs to come out. Verse 9, he says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is your God? You know, it used to be a shameful thing to be. You know, when I see the word shame and I see what we're doing right now in the world has made it acceptable to be homosexual or the woke crowd. Everything is just accepted now. Well, in the early times, our grandfathers and even our fathers saw a time in this world when being like that was shameful. Now that it's no longer shameful, it's all of a sudden accepted. The Bible says, now, does God hate all the people that believe that way? Absolutely not. It's our job as the light to bring a light into their darkness. You have to remember that, because boy, when I was growing up, oh, it was tough to believe that. It was tough to believe that God loved them people. Because the way the world, back then, the way the world looked at them is, man, they're shameful. They're all going to hell. They're going to rot in hell, every one of them. Well, we know personally people that used to be like that, ain't like that anymore. And to go from that to the correct way, that's a pretty big step. Because that's one heck of a devil you better fight. That is a heck of a devil. He said, then shall mine enemy see it and be put to shame. There's a time coming when God's going to execute judgment, and that devil that's been trying to manipulate you your whole life is going to see it and be put to shame. And we're going to get to see it. We're going to get to watch it. Now, Psalm 139, as I can get there, let's see here. Turn back here. Psalm 139:7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. What's he talking about here? All of the dark places. I mean, if you take one of them little pods down to Titanic, there's no light down there. There's nothing. You go into the heavens, there's stars, but it's still dark. Even there shall thy hand lead me, verse 10, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. He says, yeah, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It don't matter if they put you in an airtight light, a light tight room, you still glow. I mean, if this ain't good revelation knowledge to you, I don't know what is. Even if you ain't got it all figured out yet and your light don't shine as bright as everybody else's, there's a good way to make that light a little bit brighter. You need to add some electricity to it, amen? You need to give it a little more voltage. If you're an electrician, you know what I'm talking about. Add some more power to it. Matthew chapter 5, I'm trying to hurry through some of these. If you want to keep turning with me, you can. If not, just hang in there. Chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Who would do something like that? Amen? Nobody does that. I mean, well, there's not that many candles being lit anymore. But and when I saw that, when I read Psalm 18, I wasn't able to go to it. When it talks about, in Psalm 18, it talks about God lights my candle. When you think about the day of Pentecost, what did they all look like? A bunch of walking candles. Amen? They were a bunch of walking people, and they had the light of the flame of fire on top of them. It looks just like a candle burning. We're a bunch of walking candles. That's what we are. Amen? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works. That's the whole purpose of it. It's not for you, it's for them. Everything you do that is God-related is not for you, it's for them. Amen. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whew! If you walk in love, you can light up the room. John chapter 1. I'm going to read the Passion Translation on this one. I'm trying to go quickly here, guys. Hang in there. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Now, I'm going to read the Passion. Now, everybody's read this. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. You know, God was with God and all that stuff, okay? Now, watch this. The Passion reads it like this. This is, if you don't understand the King James, we're not trying to discredit the King James, but sometimes we read a different translation. It just can open your eyes and make you see something different or in a different, it gives you a different revelation. He says, in the beginning, the living expression was already there. He was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet he was fully God. They were together face to face in the very beginning, and through his creative inspiration, the living expression, made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. For his life is the light. You need to remember that statement. What happens when somebody dies? The light goes out. They die. They, you know, the glow in their light goes away. Their skin changes to a different color. They don't glow anymore. The light leaves. He says, for his life, or I should say verse 4, a fountain of life was in him, for his life is light for all humanity. And the light never fails to shine through darkness. Man, this is the glow article all over again. I mean, you can walk into a totally dark room and still glow. Light that darkness, the Bible says, could not overcome. And if you read on, you see that darkness didn't comprehend it. It's like, how could this be? How could it, even when there's darkness, there's still light? How is this? How can I not overcome this? This is also metaphorically for the fact that darkness cannot prevail over light. The enemy cannot prevail over God, and so on and so forth. The life that is in you. My friends, if you're breathing, there's light. Amen. If you're breathing, there's life. And the life is the light. It's all in the blood. My friends, the blood is everything. Without the blood in your body, you don't exist. Chapter 8, John chapter 8. Again, I'm going quickly. I just found a bunch of scriptures, and I just wanted to read them all to you and kind of go to show you some revelation that I got. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, there will always be a path. He'll always show you. Even if you're in a totally dark place, he can show you how to get. I remember when I was a kid, and God had to show me how to get to the front of Kmart. Because I'm in Kmart, I'm at the back. You know how kids always say, hey, Mom, I'm going to go look at the toy section. Well, I was in the toy section. And Kmart, all the lights went out. And I'm like, uh-oh. Mom's at the front, and I'm at the back. And I had to walk in total darkness, you know. Now, was that a dangerous situation? No. But I did make it to the front. I knew that if I walked out and turned right, I would get there. God does the same thing for you. He is a light. My friends, if you're struggling in your finances, in your health, or in your spirit walk with him, He is the light that he's the light that illuminates what's holding back the knowledge that you need. Light has always fought against darkness. Darkness has always been between your ears. Your mind is always saying to you, don't eat the donut, don't eat the donut. You know, your spirit man's always saying, don't eat the donut. Your flesh is always like, eat the donut. Do it. The devil's always telling you, and he's always using your mind. He can't hurt you any other way. You have to actually receive everything he's telling you. You have to actually follow through with what he manipulates you to do. He can't make you do anything, but he can manipulate you. Manipulation, deception, lying, because why? He's the father of lies. And the father of lies, and where there's darkness, there's every evil thing. Where there's confusion, there's every evil work. People that don't know how to walk according to God's way of doing things are usually confused. You ever heard that? You ever walked up, if your friend ever came to you before struggling in life and they're just like, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. You know why they're confused? Because there's no light. They don't have Jesus on the inside of them. They don't have the Holy Ghost ministering to their spirit saying, hey, this is what you need to do. All you got to do is this. You don't need to be upset about it. Just do this. And the last one, 1 John, if you want to turn there, you can. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm going to end with this. First John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we what? Have fellowship with one another. If you're one of those people that always wants to seclude yourself, then you're missing it. I used to think like that. Like, I didn't want to be around people. I only want to be around people when it benefited me. But I have learned that God created us to fellowship. If God didn't create us to fellowship, we wouldn't need church on Sunday. You know, because what is church on Sunday? It's fellowship with each other. Hey, man, this week this happened, you know, and I got through it and blah, 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 and I did this and I did that and God worked a miracle for me. If we didn't need fellowship with one another, we could all just stay home and text each other, amen? We wouldn't need to come here and collectively be together and build each other up. But God designed us that way. He designed us to need each other, but He also designed us to need Him, collectively and individually. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God we serve a God of multiple chances. So I'll end with this. So I had two conversations this week that go along with this right here, this last scripture. Fellowshipping with each other and lying to yourself. Both on the same day. And I thought about them when I read that scripture. First one is a kid. He's in athletics, but he struggles to make any team because he's just basically not that good. You know, you can't make a team. If you ain't no good, you don't make the team. And he had said something walking down the hall the other day, and the coach heard him say it. And it was the F word, and he said the F word, and that coach, you know, got on to him, so he's going to make him do what we call up-downs. Y'all know what up-downs are? Up, stand up, and then go down. And then stand up, and then go down. Stand up, and then go down. You flop down to your belly, you know. Well, he refused to do them. He's like, well, you got two options. You can either do them, or you can get out of athletics. It's that simple. So I had a conversation with him in the locker room. And I said, he's crying. Boy, he's crying hard, too. I said, look me in the eye and tell me you didn't say that the other day. He said, I didn't say anything. And that's the reason he wouldn't do the up-downs, because he was set on the fact that he didn't. We know darn good and well he said them. I mean, so you're telling me that coach is just making this up, and you know he's lying, he just came here to pick on you today? That's what you're telling me? You know, I didn't say nothing. I said, well, here's your, because he was always late to my class. He's always, always late to my class. I said, well, okay, here's what we're going to do. And he's crying. And I said, all right, you're late to my class again today. Tomorrow, you're going to do them 20 up-downs that he asked you to do, and you're going to do something else that I tell you to do. I said, is that a deal? That's a deal, coach. Guess what happened? Second period rolled around, minute and a half late. I don't know how you can be late after having that conversation. Knowing that tomorrow, you're going to be struggling a little bit physically. I don't know who. So really, in all reality, he was lying to himself. Do you see how the devil can deceive you and make you believe that you're totally right when we know darn good and well you're wrong? You're lying to yourself. So the next day he comes, and I said, all right, you're with me today. Are you going to do them? Because if not, I'm getting you out of here. I'm sending you down to the office. You can go tell Mr., you know, you can go tell the principal about it. He goes, yes, sir, I'll do them. I'll do them. I get out there. He does all 20 of them up-downs. And I had him do like several other things. And I was going to see if he would do them on his own without me pushing him. And he did all of them on his own. And I brought him over at the end and I said, now listen to me. I said, that was the easy day. Next time we have this conversation, it's going to be the hard day. I said, but I am. So you got to, I learned this from Corey. Corey does a really good job of this. He'll correct you and tear you down for a sec. Not tear you down like abuse you. But he'll correct you and you'll mentally be, you know, downtrodden. But at the end, he builds you up. You can't slap people in the face with Jesus and correct them all the time and never build them up. Because all they're going to hear is the bad parts. They won't remember the good stuff. Anytime you correct somebody, you should always build them up. I don't care if it's your kids. Kids are always being corrected. If you ain't correcting your kids, you ain't parenting, right? Amen? And then people like us have to deal with them at school. Don't do that to me. I'll make you start doing up downs, amen? So I was proud of him. And I told him that. I said, I'm proud of you. Because he may not hear that a lot. I don't know. I had another kid at the first of the year. I got onto him, and I was riding him hard. Man, I'm telling you, I was on him. I said, get going. He goes, I will in a second. I said, what'd you say to me? And I walked right over to him. I said, what'd you say? He goes, I'm tired, coach. I said, next time, it better be yes, sir. He goes, yes, sir, yes. And I mean, some kids don't ever get corrected, and that's a darn shame. But I made sure he understood that this guy wasn't going to put up with it. The second conversation I had that day was with a kid who was having a hard time. He's always had a hard time. And he just came into my class midway through the school year. And he got upset because I'm in a portable. There ain't much room out there. We're like matches in a matchbox out there. It's tight. Even with lesser kids this year. So this one kid, he's always an isolator. I'm telling you right now, if you're one of those that believes that you should always be separate from everybody, you don't want to associate with people, you don't want to get to church early and fellowship with people, you're doing it wrong, I'm telling you. God designed you to fellowship with people. So we're doing what they call a gallery walk around the class, and he gets upset because they won't work with him. He gets upset, and he's done this multiple times. So he gets mad, he goes back over and sits in his chair and starts crying. And I go over to him, and I get a little bit rough, a little bit tough on him, because I know deep down inside, this is not him. This is not the guy I know. I said, get out of here right now. Get out of this classroom. Go sit outside. And he went out there and thought about it. When we were done, I brought him back in, and I said, listen to me. Isolation is not good for you. I said, I am fed up with watching you whine and cry about how people, I'm fed up with watching you get offended over stuff and whine and cry about how people don't treat you right. I said, it shouldn't matter what they think about you. I said, you need to change your attitude and quit that crying and going away. I said, all you're doing is isolating yourself, putting yourself over in that corner. Because now all they think of you is just, oh, he's just a whiny baby. And you know what bullies think of whiny babies? They just keep on calling them whiny babies, and they just keep on. Until you stand up or you change your mind and choose to be a part of a crowd, in a good way, they're always going to pick on you, and you're always going to be offended and want to go sit in the corner somewhere. I said, I'm fed up watching that. You do that again, I'm going to kick you out of here every time. I'm going to draw more attention to you. I'm going to keep kicking you out. I said, I am done watching that. You are going to start being who you are. And they said, if they don't like you, who cares? You go be somebody else. You go be who you are somewhere else with somebody else. And he stood there and took it. He didn't cry anymore. He's yes, sir, yes, sir. And he walked out of there. That's how you should be. Quit whining and crying and complaining about the refs not always calling all the fouls and how the devil's always whipping your tail. Start whipping his tail for once. Start calling forth your harvest and reap it. Start calling forth that 100-fold return. Start saying it out loud and confessing it and telling the enemy, turn loose of what belongs to me. Because he's up there. He's up there in the heavenlies. And he's got his hands on your blessing. Somebody else has your blessing. It just ain't got to you yet. It's because you ain't fighting hard enough. If you're 1,000 times dimmer, you need to be 1,000 times brighter. But the only way you get there is through the Word. Amen. Stop being the whiny baby. You're going to have to toughen up. I'm not saying you can't cry. I'm not saying that at all. There's nothing wrong with crying. I've cried. I've stood up here and cried. Y'all watched me stand up here and cry like a big old baby. God wants to bring you out of this end times nonsense, and make you the head, not the tail. He wants to make you the 100-fold recipient in 2023. Amen. In everything, not just financially. This is not just a financial prosperity church. This is an everything church. And it's time we start acting like it. Amen. There's a warrior on the. I don't care how old you are. There's a lion on the inside of you. All you got to do is make him roar. Somebody pushes the wrong button, I'm telling you, you start fighting. You'll start fighting. Because if you ever been in that situation where you ain't got no option but to fight, you fight. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh, we're the head, not the tail. If you've been losing to the devil, raise your hand right now. If you've been losing, I thought so. Anybody else been losing? Ain't no fun to lose, is it? God never told us you had to be a loser. He never said, you know what, you're just going to get, you know, all you got to do is get saved. The rest of your life, you'll just be a loser until I come and get you. It ain't supposed to be like that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we call forth everything that belongs to us. Devil, you take your hands off of our blessing. This year, this church will prosper and it will increase. No longer will there be chairs hanging on the chair racks. This church will prosper and everybody that's in it will prosper. Devil, take your hands off of the blessing. It doesn't belong to you, it belongs to us. Because we are children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. There's a blessing up there and it belongs to us. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that salvations will happen this year. People will be, as Corey said, saved, set free, healed, and delivered. We are no longer in bondage, devil. From this day forth, we will no longer wear your handcuffs. We will increase this year in all things, not just financially, but spiritually. And today is the day that we move towards financial freedom, spiritual freedom, physical freedom. No longer will sickness and disease overcome us or beat us up. We are winners and not losers. We're the head and not the tail. We're the first and not the last. We're above and not beneath. We are lions. And we are in God's army. And He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we are a part of His tribe. We are a pride of lions. Hallelujah. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you aren't saved, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. We're all going to pray a prayer with you. If you're new here, you've never received Jesus, as I'm closing, I want you to pray this prayer. Everybody's going to pray it with you to build your confidence and help you receive Jesus as your Lord. That's the first step towards prosperity. You have to receive Jesus. That's the way God designed it. There's no other way. There's no alternative. It doesn't work that way. It's only through Jesus. If you haven't received Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. If you received that prayer, or if you received Jesus for the very first time, you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said. You'd never received Jesus before, but you came here today, you prayed that prayer and you got serious with God just then, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it. I want you on the count of three to just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Just want you to raise your hand and let me know that you prayed that prayer. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? Good. All right, look at me. All right. That means we're all in the same pride of lions, right? Now.